With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Guys, it is Dukes and Bell coming up. We'll go on the sidelines with the dogs. Tomorrow, Mike and I will be up early, crack of dawn, to do our part for Special Olympics Georgia. We're going to be down there. Actually, it's a run, Mike, 5K, actually, that we're not running. But we're going to be there. We're going to be there kind of kicking things off, man, as
Yeah, it's the Torch Relay. They've had 1,000 miles all over the state of Georgia for the 30th Special Olympics Games, which are going to be hosted mostly, and they're all over metro Atlanta, but a lot of the track and field and other events over at Emory. But we're going to be a part of that tomorrow. So if you're on that little Torch Relay route, and you'll be looking for us in the 92.9 The Game vehicles, which they will not let us drive.
No, they will not. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. And so we're starting the day off like that. Maybe we'll stop in on the morning show. See Hugh and John.
I think we should totally crash the show tomorrow.
Think so.
You know what I mean? Squid be like, you get up there, man. You get in there, man. So we'll try to see if we can get in the show tomorrow. See where the magic happens with freaking Hugh.
It's right in the middle of this segment.
Pushed in like the Kool-Aid man. Yeah. Hey, what's going on in here?
By the way, after that, tomorrow afternoon, Mike and I will be up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. So come by and hang out.
Yeah.
See how the magic is done.
Yeah, Carl was chiding me, saying that with a big vacation coming up, that I would probably be mentally out of it. And
I'm shocked you're here today, but that's just me.
Hey, come on. Focus like a laser, dude. But tomorrow, I'll give you about 2 hours, and then the rest is cruise. We got Frank Caliendo coming on, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But just like I said, last hour and a half is going to be a lot of grab bag. But, hey, if you're on your way to the Braves game, come by and see us at Twin Peaks as you head south on 75 right off of Barrett Parkway.
All right, man, let's get to it. On the sidelines with the dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, a couple of stories going on. One of them is we're going to get to the Heisman odds. And, yes, the dogs have a couple of guys that are going to be included in this year's Heisman race. But, Mike, Kirby Smart saying that here in Georgia, us, the fans, we got a disease. And that disease is praising these Georgia players way too much.
Oh, it's right out of the Saban playbook. This is Nick Saban 101 that Kirby's quoting, isn't it?
He says, quote, I don't even think you digest your team's accomplishments. He was asked the question about how do you look back? How do you, you know, think about what you've been able to accomplish already? He says, quote, I don't even think you ever digest your team's accomplishments. You try to look back when it's all done, and it's far from done. We're moving on. We're excited. Mm-hmm. The biggest disease in the state of Georgia is all these pats on the back and all the accolades for the guys.
Agree with Kirby 100%. And again, this is not a reflection of the previous regime. It's just the way things should be done. You haven't, I mean, you came up short. The Falcons came up short, and Georgia came up short. I mean, both teams blew leads. Both teams were in the driver's seat. Alabama had to break the glass in case of emergency, throw in Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, you blew busted coverage. I mean, no, it's great to win the SEC, but when you play Alabama and to lose it that way in a championship, I agree with Kirby. It's great that the program's in the right direction, but there's no reason to think the job is done. Or just now sit back and go, well, how about that? 2018 is a beginning.
It is.
Or 17 is a beginning.
It was a beginning of something. And then even when you win it, this has to be your attitude. That's how you get back there.
But that's Nick Saban chapter and verse right there.
So Kirby goes on to say, really, we are focused on next year, this year, trying to grow as a team. We lost a lot of good players. 3 first-round draft picks. That's the first time in the history of Georgia that's happened. He says replacing those guys is not going to be easy. So I find it interesting to basically say for Georgia fans, let's not have this disease, all right? The disease of, well, man, they're so good. Yeah, let's temper that a little bit.
Kirby went on to tell SEC Radio and a certain Bald Stooge host, quote, you be a real butthole on the field and coach hard. That's how he curbs his players from feeling that entitled mindset. So, again, crack the whip. And you, just because you some of the younger guys played, look, the other guys are off to the NFL. And now this next generation of guys have got to step up.
Speaking of the dogs, the SEC, it's been, what, a 2-year drought since Derrick Henry won the Heisman Trophy. That was back in 2015. So what are the odds for this year's crop of talent in the SEC? You just mentioned Tua Tagovailoa. He is one of the favorites in the SEC to win the Heisman Trophy. The prop list is out, Mike. He's plus 1,000. Jalen Hurts, plus 2,000. Jake Fromm is on the list as well, as long as along with DeAndre Swift, the running back. Both of those folks, both of those guys expected to make a run at the Heisman. Jarrett Stidham with Auburn, Missouri's Drew Locke, and Mississippi State's Nick Fitzgerald. All of those guys right now, you know, as we start talking about who's the watch list, they're on it. Now, the season plays out. We'll see where it goes. But Georgia fans, is Jake Fromm going to throw the ball enough to be in the Heisman hunt?
Well, Jake Fromm's got to win that starting job, Carl.
Oh, here you go.
Well, again, also talking in Birmingham to WJOX, Kirby said when asked about Fields versus Fromm, quote, you compete. Let guys come out and compete. I think sometimes you guys, a media, think we just make a decision and just go with it. We do what happens in practice, at scrimmages. We have 25 practices for our first game, and we are excited about those opportunities to find out how much better Jake can get. How much better Justin can get.
Sir, yes, sir.
Competition, man. I don't know if Kirby answered the question like that. I'm just having some fun infusing some energy. We're going to have Kirby on here in the next couple of weeks, guys, by the way, so we can ask him some of our questions. But, I mean, it's something that he was going to want to control, and you can't control it because you got two tremendous talents at quarterback that everybody wants to know who's going to win this job.
Yeah. And listen, I love the fact that it's just not Jake Fromm's job. I think it is, but he's not saying that. It is about going out and earning it. And
plus, Fields has just got a skill set. You got to find a way to get him touches.
Yeah, as the number one quarterback coming in, I think you're absolutely right. Hey, Scott Frost, man, popping off. Well, a little bit. Remember the comments from Nick Saban about, you know, UCF going overboard with the whole national championship thing?
So Scott, I agree.
So Scott Frost, he's now at Nebraska, by the way. He did an interview in Omaha, and they asked him about this. Did you hear what Nick Saban had to say? Listen to Scott Frost.
I think I'm on the record enough with that kind of stuff, but Alabama's probably got one or two championships they claim that weren't necessarily recognized by everybody.
Oh, snap! He clapped back!
Wow. Let it go, man. Just, you know, worry about getting the Cornhuskers relevant because you have been irrelevant for about a decade now.
I mean, Alabama's championships are not real.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there was a time when there were 15 different championships one could claim from the Associated Press, United Press International. You know what I mean? The Canadian Jewish News had a trophy, Carl. There was a lot of them out there. Well, one thing about Alabama, and this is a bone of contention for those fans, is back in 1966, when Alabama fielded an all-white football team, the New York media and them Yankees, they gave it to a Michigan State Notre Dame. Remember, that was the year Michigan State tied Notre Dame. So Alabama was on the outside looking in with an undefeated perfect season that year. So, like, Frost, get over it. It was a hell of a run. Now you're at Nebraska. Now you got to do it and recruit against the Texases, the Oklahomas, the Michigans, Michigan States, Iowas of the world. Good luck.
The guy in that truck right now almost ran off the road. Son of a...
Why do you hate Bama so much?
Alabama's won all our championships, fair and square. Right.
There was Riders back in 1928. We know which ones they were.
Yeah, Scott Frost, though, and he did not stay, obviously, at UCF. But that's the front of that comment where he goes, I've been on the record as saying if I would have stayed at UCF, I would not have publicly supported the title claims. So he starts off by saying that, and then he shoots his shot by saying Alabama probably has one or two that they claim that weren't necessarily recognized by everybody. Hey, meanwhile, you brought this up, and I just want to kind of get into this a little bit. We talked about how the East, I think the East is going to be a lot better. Up in Knoxville, Jeremy Pruitt went on a show up there and talked about that he didn't want to put a ceiling on things, Mike, that he says, you know, people go, well, what do you want to accomplish in this first year? And they're like, well, you want to go in 8 games. You want to go to a bowl game. And he's like, I'm not going to put a ceiling on it.
Right.
We'll play it out and see where we are. He says, but the big goal for each individual player as a unit, as a team, is to do our very best each day. It's funny in the sense that, guys, when you work with Saban, you start to hear this, and we hear it with Kirby, and Pruitt's been there now, and you know this, and you hear with him, and Muschamp has been there, and you hear with him, it's the same stuff. What can I get out of this group? What's the maximum thing that I can get out of this group? I'm not going to tell you we're going to win 8 games and go to a bowl game when we might win 10. And so I'm not going to, you know, limit ourselves and put a ceiling on it.
Well, the thing with Tennessee is, and based on everything I've read from, you know, you guys read the same stuff. You're a Vol fan. You're reading all the chat rooms or Saturday Down South. They got an offensive line issue. They really don't know who's playing where.
They do.
So, I mean, there's a couple of teams in the SEC that are in that same situation. And they're going to see if Guantanamo is going to be the man at quarterback. No guarantee that Pruitt feels he's going to be the guy. But I love, if you're a Tennessee fan, I think you've got to love what you're hearing. It's exactly the same thing Kirby Smart told us at SEC Media Days, what, 3 years ago?
Yep.
It's like you got to change the culture. Butch Jones was way in over his head, and everybody knew it at the end. And they probably waited way too long. But at the end of the day, after all the circus they went through and Philip Fulmer trying to put his stamp on the coaches' search and the Schiano false start, they got the right guy. Because this is a less polished, probably less polished than Kirby. Pruitt's not a guy that's going to win any after-dinner speaking award, but he's a football coach, and that's what you need. He's going to get it right.
By the way, he was also asked about this, and I think this is another hot topic when we get to SEC Media Days to see what these coaches think, Mike. But he was asked about blocking graduate transfers from attending the program of their choice. Okay?
Sound familiar?
So I've graduated, and now I want to go play somewhere else, and I've got eligibility. And I should be, at least according to players, be able to choose and go wherever I want. But coaches are still blocking guys, even though they've graduated. So Pruitt responded by saying this, because they have a situation in Tennessee where apparently an Alabama graduate transfer offensive lineman, his name's Brandon Kennedy, wants to go to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Maybe he knows Pruitt, maybe he has a good relationship with him, whatever the situation is. And Saban apparently has been blocking this, okay? So Kennedy's in the process of appealing this decision. The NCAA is expected to vote on whether student-athletes even need to gain permission from their former schools before transferring. That vote is expected in June. So Jeremy Pruitt says the big thing when it comes to guys at a grad transfer is they've shown the maturity. They know what it takes to get a degree, leaving a situation where they thought they could have some success. If they've earned their degree, in my opinion, Jeremy Pruitt, they've earned the right to choose to go wherever they want.
I mean, we've seen graduate transfers happen here. You had a punter for Georgia come down from Columbia. We had a guy, well, years ago, it was Tyler Catalina. I mean, normally I would say that I understand where the coach is coming from. You didn't want Kirby to see an exodus of guys who felt all warm and fuzzy about Mark Richt running down to South Florida. But a graduate thing, I think that's a separate set of circumstances. Would you agree?
I do.
You've earned that right.
I absolutely do. So Pruitt basically saying, listen, if kids graduate and they want to leave Tennessee, I'm not going to block them. And if they want to come here, they should be able to come here. I kind of agree with him on that. If I'm a freshman or a sophomore, Mike, and I'm mad because I'm not playing, and then I want to go, you know, to an opposing school in the conference as a coach, I think you should have the right to block that.
If you got if there was a recruit, for instance, there was a big recruiting battle between you and school X, and now the kid wants to go there in your division, no way. That's when I think a coach does have a right. But once a guy's spent the time in college, hit the books, he's on schedule, ahead of schedule, yeah, let the kid go.
All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We go on the sidelines each and every day. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
BrightboxElectrical.com, guys. Give them a buzz, 770-901-2500 for man caves, home entertainment, home security, home monitoring. They can do it all. And for your place of business as well.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Braves back in action tonight. Max Fried gets the call. He's going to pitch for the Braves. It was supposed to be Soroka, but he is now on the DL. We'll get into that. But more importantly, what's your thoughts on Brian Snicker? Right now, though, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Code word this hour is Arrow, A-R-R-O-W.
Arrow, A-R-R-O-W. Arrow to 72881. Text that right now. That's A-R-R-O-W. And you send that to 72881. And don't text and drive. You got a couple of minute window here to get that text in our national signing bonus contest. Arrow is the word for 4 o'clock.
Mike Bell, I just got word that we had a winner yesterday in the 2 o'clock hour. We gave away $1,000 in the 2 o'clock hour of this show.
Gregory
yesterday.
Cantrell. Where's he from, AT? We know what town? Somewhere in Metro Atlanta.
All right, man.
Or out in the mountains. We got a big antenna.
Well, we tried to tell you guys.
Oh, some Cartersville where they make the beer.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, congratulations, man.
Hey, by the way, speaking of beer, can't give it all away, but we've got some exciting stuff going on with our buddies at Oconee Brewery.
We do. Basically, to be quite honest with you, Mike and I went out there. We begged. We said, listen, we'd love to have our own beer. They said, get out of here. We're not listening to you guys. But apparently.
And I said, well, let me introduce you to Snap the Crisp $20 Bill. Mr. Andrew Jackson.
They apparently they did listen, and there's a
reenactment of it.
Big announcement coming your way here on this program about that. All right, so yeah, congratulations. We had a winner in the 2 o'clock hour yesterday. The word this hour, A-R-R-O-W, your chance to win. And the only reason why we're telling you this, guys, is because I know you're listening going, man, we hear you guys give these words every day and nobody wins. We have winners.
And that's, I think, about our 17th winner over the last 2 years or 3 years. So we've given away $17,000, baby, on this program alone. How you like them apples? But that's not the word. The word is arrow, A-R-R-O-W. Look, Arthur, I can't help it if more people pay attention to us. And again, guys at middays, I don't know who listened to that show. I mean, it's guys that are watching Judge Judy. They don't have jobs. Our people are working, Carl. They're coming to and fro the office in their car or truck.
That's true. They are. They're listening all over the place.
And sometimes it takes a while for them to hear the word because they've got things to do. Hey, by the way, we just wrapped up the dog report and SEC. And for guys who were asking about it, we did address this yesterday. But thoughts about Mike Slive? He was 77 years of age, was always a gracious guest talking to us about the SEC. Roy Kramer was the guy that really got things cooking, but the guy that built off that success was Mike Slive, the creation of SEC Network, and the hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue that was generated is all on his watch.
He was a bright guy, man. I mentioned this yesterday and really didn't get into it, but when he was running Conference USA in its first inception, it's changed now, and obviously conferences have shifted, and you've had teams like Missouri and Texas A&M join the SEC. But Mike Slive, his vision was always about where college football was going. And, it was interesting to talk with him, Mike, over the years, to talk about what was going to change and, how it was going to affect the game and what about the TV money. And now, guys, when you look at the SEC, especially the football programs, they're handing out more money. All right, these checks are bigger than anybody else in the country. And Mike Slive had a big part to do with that. So I saw Nick Saban's comments about him yesterday, and Saban's right. Always looking out for what was going to happen with the SEC once he became the commission and turned it into arguably the biggest conference in football.
And on the heels of that, just real quick before we catch a break, ACC officials and coaches meeting this week and saying they have not really come up with a plan on how they're going to handle the Supreme Court's decision about sports gambling. Our buddy Big Bill Hancock was apparently in on the conversation. There'll be plenty of time to do that down the road, but they're wondering, how do they handle that? Is this something that you're going to have to educate players and people in your program about?
Hey, man, more to get to. All right, Brian Snicker has the first-place Braves rolling. Why not give him an extension?
I won. I lost. $1.
Thank you, Lewis.
After you.
Certainly.
Braves at SunTrust tonight. I'm heading over as well. Cubs wrapping up this series. And this is not necessarily a conversation about the team, but it is. Because, Mike, we've had this discussion, and I know kind of where you are on this. We are early in the season, but the Braves are in first place. They're playing some really inspiring baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I this came to me after listening to, and I got to give credit to our guys, Zach Klein over at WSB and Jeff Schultz, who do that podcast. And they had an interview, I think it was a pretty long one, with Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Braves. And if you've not checked it out, it's pretty cool. It's a great podcast, and I give those guys credit. But Alex Anthopoulos talked about the fact that he's giving Brian Snicker all of the credit for the success that they're having. And he says, listen, I'm not going to beat around the bush when it comes to talking about, did I think we'd be here? I didn't. And he tells Jeff Schultz and Zach Klein that on this podcast and says, and I've got to give the manager some credit for this success. Well, if you feel that way, and again, going into the offseason, we know that this is a situation that the Braves gave him an extension prior to Alex Anthopoulos taking over, okay? So now
A small one.
Yes, it was a one-year deal. And so now he's basically in the last year of his deal. And I ask Brave fans, if you feel like this guy is a part of what you're doing that's special right now, do you want to move forward with him? And if you feel that comfortable in the fact that, hey, he is a big part of what we're doing, and you got a lot of young guys that were comfortable, and he's relating to the players, Mike, and he has the trust in the clubhouse, and he's managing what little egos, because right now there are none,
right.
But there will be. If Acuna and Albies and all these guys continue to ball out the way they are, you're going to have to manage some of those egos. But apparently he's doing a really good job of that. Why not go ahead and take care of him?
Yeah, I mean, he's 62 years of age. I'm not sure how long he wants to do this before he wants to go fishing, but he's a guy that everybody seems to like in the media, certainly in that clubhouse. So, yeah, I mean, it is interesting. The one debate I guess you could throw out there, just to play devil's advocate, as you and I talked about this for guys that missed it the other day, is what happens when the team gets good? Can he handle postseason managing? Can he handle the things in the when everything gets amplified and magnified? You got to, you can't let that pitcher stay that extra at bat. Will he be able to handle that? Because we've seen coaches in the NBA in this last playoff season, that got in that first moment for the first time, I should say, and they struggled. I'm not sure that would be a problem for Schnitt, but that is something saying, in some franchises you let the guy develop it and then you bring in the closer. And he'll be the skipper when this team's really good.
Yeah, it's a great point. And therefore, if you're the Braves and Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, you're in no rush because we may be in that situation in the fall, right? We may be close.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we're in the playoffs and you see some decisions that are made that you go, well. But he did say, and I found this interesting, again, Mike, to Jeff Schultz and Zach Klein, he said, It's beyond winning and losing when you're a manager. You just don't get judged on winning and losing. It's all the other things that we've talked about that go into whether you're going to give a manager an extension or not, or how long he's going to be around. It's not just about winning and losing.
Hey, by the way, real quick, Braves note, Mike Soroka was supposed to pitch tonight. Carl's got tickets, by the way. Right now I'm looking at blue skies and puffy clouds. I think we're going to be, knock wood.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, because the rain's supposed to roll in around 7 or 8, but let's hope we miss it up at SunTrust. But anyway, Mike Soroka, shoulder strain, 10-day DL, retroactive a few days back. And according to Grant McCauley, he's down at the ballpark. Hope is it'll be a short stint, and he'll make at least one rehab start. So, again, you hate to see a young pitcher dealing with any kind of arm issue, but let's just hope that this is not much to do about nothing. But Soroka gets scratched for tonight.
And Miami comes in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, guys, before the Braves head to Philly and then Boston over Memorial Day weekend. But they're actually home Memorial Day evening. It's an afternoon game against the Mets that Memorial Day afternoon. So the Mets will be back in town. With that said, man, you can text us, 404-741-0929. I do want to share this one thing with you. I was looking at this Meta World Peace. His mama named him Ron Artest. Meta World Peace says he is not a fan of the new rule that makes sports betting legal. And the reason is, he says that as an 18-year-old, I think he was at St. John's, he was offered $35,000 to throw a game at St. John's. He says that he was approached in his neighborhood. No, he's from New York area.
Right.
And he says he did not specify who tried to bribe him, but he says, I've been approached in college, and I got approached a couple of times to throw games. And he says that he's not a fan of this. And he says, a guy came up to him and says, I got 35 grand for you. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'll take 35 grand. And he says, the guy says, we need you to throw the game. And he says, Ron Artest, Meta World Peace. He's like, wait, hold on. What are you talking about? I'm not going to do that. So the conversation is that this has been around, and now you're making gambling legal in some states. Again, it won't be everywhere, but it's going to be a lot more places than it's been, just in Vegas. Is this a concern? This is something that concerns you now even more if you're going to have guys in states like, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, wherever it might be going on. Hey, I got a little something on the game, man. And if you have an intimate relationship with some of these players, are you now worried about this, Mike, especially at the collegiate level?
No, I mean, the last time we saw anything like this where, I mean, I guess, was it Tulane? Was it Hot Rod? Or who was the player that got in trouble at Tulane AT for point shaving? Allegedly. Hot Rod Williams. The Boston College one that was made famous in Goodfellas, where Jimmy Burke and his guys had reached out to some players. And actually, that documentary, The 30 for 30,
right.
One of the guys, Sweeney, was roommates with Mike Mayock in Boston College. Mm. But anyway.
And it was Arizona State as well. Was that in the 80s or 90s?
I'm trying to think of the most recent high profile.
Okay.
And the reason, here's the thing. And the ACC coaches, they just talked about it, or they maybe tabled that discussion for another day. But they've got to have some education, I guess, for some of the players. Two things. If some money gets bet and the line moves and there's some really strange action, Vegas polices this better than anyone. They'll see the action. Like, let's say Wake's playing Georgia Tech, and all of a sudden somebody gets to a Wake player, and Wake was favored by 6. The money line moves. The points are strange. There'll be some red flags that will be picked up. Now, some say you might be able to pull it off and get away with it for a few times before Vegas catches on, and that may be the case. Two things, Carl.
Yeah.
Can any 18 to 20-year-old keep his mouth shut about anything in this day and age? I'm going to say that first off, how is a guy going to have 10 grand in walk-around money from Tony No-Nos, and that's not going to get around campus? I'm not saying it wouldn't. It might not be attempted somewhere, some way in the future. I just think between Vegas and how the funny business would be on the radar, I just don't see it in college.
1994 was the year that Arizona State, Bill Friedo was the coach. Guy named Stephen Smith.
Frieder was the one that Bo Schembech said, I want a Michigan man coaching this team.
Stephen Smith was the kid at the time, and it was $20,000 to shave points against Oregon State. Now, and again, for those of you who are going, what are you guys talking about? The idea is that if I'm a star, okay, I'm good enough to control the game. I'm going to give you my average because I can't not score my average, Mike, because that looks too obvious.
But I can miss a couple free throws.
But I can miss a couple free throws late and maybe make a difference in the points and the spread. And so, and turnovers. You're absolutely right. I mean,
But you got to be subtle. That's the thing. Sometimes you can't just give it away.
But that's what we're talking about here. Now, many of you are going, wait a minute. If I told you that was going on as you watched the game, would you even know? Would you even know?
Well, in some cases, when you're watching your favorite team and you see a guy screwing things up, you sometimes think he is tanking.
Well, that's right.
As my father would say after like 20 Schaefer's, have you got money on this game?
Houston.
But you know what I mean, Mike? I mean, it's not like the guy's coming down the court and he, oh, my, Bobby, just bounced it off his foot and turned it over.
But, I mean, the two things, and by the way, I know we have a lot of younger listeners out there. Millennials sometimes don't catch. Point shaving is the phrase. And quite honestly, the best way to describe it would be, yeah, you're going to lose. The guy's going to bet the game, and the player tanks a few possessions mm-hmm. to cover the aforementioned spread, or they want it to go over, whatever.
Yeah,
it's
Mike
never going to be
over.
It's going to be a point spread.
Yeah, Mike and I are on a team, and our team is picked to win by 6 points, right? And we make sure that our team does not win by 6 points.
Right.
That's it. It's that simple. However, Mike's supposed to make a layup. He missed the layup late in the game, and the people are going, oh, he never misses that.
But yeah.
That's how this stuff plays
out. You know what the best thing about all this discussion we're having? This will maybe put the fear of God into some of these ridiculous empty suits that run the NCAA and different, let's be honest, conferences.
Okay, so what do you do?
Say, I gotta, this gets me back to where I've got to share the wealth.
Pay the kids.
I got to give more than a stipend. I've got to take some of that billions of dollars from March Madness and spread it across all the teams in college basketball.
Yeah.
Because you've got more than enough to do it. It's not a matter that you don't have the money. You can easily make it work, and everyone still gets to drive to work in a limo.
Right.
But this is something that might be, you know, maybe we... This gambling thing's going to be pervasive. It's going to be everywhere. First things first, guys, it's got to be passed on a state-by-state basis. Some states are not going to play ball with this.
No, they're not.
But here's the thing. Just because now, Carl, we've got legalized gambling, there's been gamblers and these people in this world have existed for years. So the idea that now because a guy could go make a bet in the state that we're going to have point shaving when he could have been doing it all this time, for me, that argument doesn't wash. There's been enough people with enough money that were trying to influence athletes for time immemorial.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I've said this now with professional sports, just to give you an idea. There's no amount of money that you could offer Matt Ryan right now that would make him want to throw four picks in a game, okay? The amount of money that professional stars are making now, I don't care if you're the mob or whoever, it used to be, yeah, I'm going to give you $1 million, and you went, wow, okay, great. You can't do that now, and it's worth the risk.
Well, the last time you could do it in Major League Baseball is when the guy was getting paid peanuts, and that's the 1919 Black Sox scandal with Arnold Rothstein that fixed the White Sox.
But Mike, here's the point I'm making about Matt Ryan, and happy birthday, Matt, by the way. You can't do it with professionals, but you could do it with college athletes because they're not making anything. And if I told you I'd give you 150 Gs to not score your 20 points tonight, you're not going to think about it?
Dude, I'd be throwing balls at the scorer's table.
Hey, man, we got more to get to. Yeah, man, No Man's coming up with AT.
Arthur gets to speak for one time and one time only.
And it is official. I spoke with Coach Bud last night. He's taking the job. It's official, though. The Bucks have come out now. Woo! And they've said, Coach Bud's going to be our new coach. He gets to coach the Greek Freak.
The Bud that made Milwaukee famous.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment, and sometimes a surprise question is today's question number one.
All right, AT, let's get to it.
All right, guys, the NBA Draft Combine is going on for the rest of the week, and Georgia's Yonte Mayton is reportedly on the fringes of draft conversations. So do you believe he will be one of the 60 chosen on June 21st?
He can fill it up. He's a scorer. You're always looking for scores in the NBA. It's all about that. I wouldn't call him a pure shooter, Mike, but I would tell you, yeah, man, I think he's got a real good chance to be a guy that's drafted in the top 60.
When's the last time we had a guy from UGA or GT? I mean, remember R.J. Hunter, of course, from Georgia State?
Sure.
But Yonte Mayton's built a lot fuller than that. And I think you know what? Yes, man, I'm saying you have a shot.
All right. And one of the weirdest team tweets in a while, the Raptors, yes, those Toronto Raptors, congratulated Dwayne Casey on being one of the three finalists for the NBA's Coach of the Year Award. As we know, Casey was fired by Toronto last week. So do you agree they really didn't have a choice here in acknowledging it?
No, they didn't. But, you know, how disrespectful this is after you let the guy go. Now, here's my question, and maybe you can answer this, AT. It's in case you missed it, it's Yeah Man, No Man with AT. The media or the digital department, do they get their marching orders from the business side or the general manager, or is that completely different? Because my guess is the digital folks went, hey, we got to put a congratulations out there. And maybe they did this independently, but I also heard the organization, there was some, you know, congratulatory things going on with Casey as well.
You can get both sometimes. Some of these people will send out a tweet and then they have to take it back. Because they went on impulse, and because it involves their franchise or a player on their team, sometimes that director or senior manager, whatever the title may be, they may go ahead and jump the gun before someone within the organization knows. Hopefully they ran this by someone of authority in Toronto.
Mike, is this classless to you? What do you think?
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. You don't mention it. You look kind of mean-spirited. If you do, it's kind of like, well, why'd you fire him? You know, but, I mean, we all know why they fired him. He couldn't win the big game. You know, it was kind of like why Bud got eventually, but two different set of circumstances. But anyway, yeah, I mean, yeah, 50-50.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where I could see the team doing this because you can't win one way or the other. By the way, Casey is among that list. Brad Stevens of Boston, Utah's Quinn Snyder for the award.
Stevens should win it.
That's who I think should
Stevens should win it.
Athlon Sports considers three SEC teams to be among college football's largest wild cards for the upcoming season: LSU, Florida, and Texas A&M. It doesn't surprise me that those three teams were mentioned. How about you?
Well, start with Jimbo and Texas A&M. I mean, he got Florida State cooking and competitive early on without really having the guys necessarily that were best qualified to run his stuff, like E.J. Manuel. But Jameis obviously got him in the championship. I think just a matter of what kind of quarterback he's got under center. I can tell you about the nuts and bolts of their offensive line, but I think Jimbo for sure to make some run in the West. But then, Carl, you're in the West.
Yeah.
And the West is tough.
You know, it
even,
is.
Even, you know, with all the coaching changes.
Doesn't it seem like every year we're picking LSU? Right?
Because of the quarterback.
Every year. It's like,
it's the same situation. I mean, again, it's if they could ever find a quarterback and get that straightened out. But I'll tell you this. Ed Ogeron, he did win 9 games.
Our buddy Tigers.
T-Bob Hebert said, you know, that was actually, once he got it straightened out, okay, yeah, but you brought Matt Canada in with all that fanfare just to not run his offense. Yeah.
His schedule this year is a lot tougher than it was last year, and they had a bunch of road games within the conference that they had to deal with a year ago. So it's going to be interesting at LSU. Is Nick Saban being a little petty about his refusal to allow graduate transfer Brandon Kennedy from playing at Tennessee? Kennedy was a backup center at Alabama, and he's interested in attending one of the two schools that recruited him while he was in high school, Tennessee or Auburn. So should Nick play nice here?
No, I mean, I do agree with Jeremy Pruitt's assessment that if you're a graduate transfer, you should be able to go where you want. You shouldn't have to deal with this. And let's be honest, I'm a graduate. I shouldn't be having to ask my former program if it's okay. I moved on. I came in. I handled my business. I didn't get the playing time I thought. I still have eligibility. I should be able to go play wherever. I mean, here's the deal, and he's not a skill position guy, but, Mike, you know, the biggest fear for all these coaches is the guy that you let go to that other program is going to come back to kick your butt.
Well, it's only got 1 year. I don't think Tennessee is going to be beating Alabama anytime soon in October, but we were just talking about this on social media. He's put him up, C. Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Follow us at Dukes and Bell 929. And I was talking to a listener saying, you know, if it's – let's just say for argument's sake that Jeremy Pruitt and Saban were battling over a top recruit, and then guy goes to Bama, and then a year later he wants to – I couldn't let that kid go. Yeah, that's one of those guys who say, no, you got to go to another conference. But a graduate, Arthur, I know it's a slippery slope. Yeah, I think Saban's being a mean on for nothing here. Let the kid rock.
Hey, in the NFL, the Cowboys have certainly had some outstanding quarterbacks over their history. Roger Staubach, Don Meredith, Troy Aikman, and Tony Romo, to name a few. But can Dak Prescott's desire to become, quote, the best quarterback that the Cowboys have ever had come true for him?
You better start winning some real meaningful playoff games. Listen, I do like what Dak Prescott has done, all right? But the rookie season was a surprise. Last year, he didn't have the best running back, arguably, in the NFL behind him. All right, let's see what he does this season. I mean, you know, Mike, that's your goal, and I'm all for that. Having, you know, high aspirations is great. But you got to win some big games, man.
Well, first things first, I got to get the right coach in there. I got a big kick out of Dez Bryant saying, I wonder how Jerry Jones hasn't fired Jason Garrett yet. Now, let's see what they're going to do. I guess wide receiver by committee, but they got some ideas how they're going to get more production to that position. But, yeah, tough to do without Dez, whatever you thought he was or wasn't.
Yeah. We feel for our friends in Hawaii who have endured the eruptions on Kilauea since May 3rd. Are you surprised they're still being affected by the volcanic eruptions on the island?
Yeah, listen, and you know, I was saying this to a friend of mine because he had been over there, and he was telling me about, I'd not been to that part of Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii, but I've never been to that part. And he was saying, like, where are you going? Mm. Like, you know, we think everybody has the means to just, well, leave the island, okay? Well, a lot of these people were thinking that they were just going to be able to leave their homes for a couple of days and come back, and now there's nothing.
Well, it's like, you ever been in Naples? Anybody's ever traveled to Italy and you go down the coast from Rome and you go to, like, see Vesuvius? It's like, I wouldn't want to live anywhere near that. I guess just so, folks, it's the risk that comes with it. There's some beautiful farm country out there and those folks. But, yeah, I guess they thought they were were safe from the danger zone, but that stuff just keeps coming up.
Now, did it erupt today again or something?
I believe it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my final question for you guys today. Hey, Mike.
Yo.
Are you going to join Carl in posting a selfie today since the Midday Show's poll asked which member of the 92.9 staff is more guilty in posting the most selfies?
Well, Wendy's the queen of the selfies, but me and Carl, we are close behind.
We are
as
close.
As a matter of fact, the poll had Wendy, Big Hugh, and the two of you listed. I haven't checked to see who's winning yet.
Now, by the way, I hadn't seen a selfie with Hugh in forever. When's Hugh posting these selfies?
Oh, did I tell you what I did to Hugh at the car wash the other day?
What's that?
He was behind me over at the auto spa, and so just to be blank, he goes, I tipped a 20 on like a $30 car wash. I go, make sure that big mother blanker over there tips you.
Put some pressure on him.
I think all you had on him was like a 5.
Put some pressure on him.
Well, Wendy is leading this poll at 78%. Mike, you're second at 12.
I'm a selfie man.
Carl, you're third at 6%. You got to get those selfies up.
I got to get my selfie game up.
Big Hugh, you're running out the pack at 4%.
Now, I will say this. During the summertime, I'm not going to lie, because even Randy McMichael makes fun of us.
That would be Randy McMichael wearing hurricane gear.
It would be.
But do that next week.
But Randy makes fun of us because, you know, that's the time we're usually posting a lot of selfies, right?
Right.
And you're going to post a lot next week when you're gone.
He calls you the selfie kings.
Yeah, he does. So, Wendy, we're on your tail. But, yes, Wendy is the selfie
Easy
king.
Easy now.
What? We're chasing her. What are you talking about? You know, it's Dukes and Bell.
Hashtag me too. Be careful.
Look, I can't speak now. You're going to eliminate this.
Matter of fact, I'm going to not post now.
You guys are silly. All right, AT, great job, man. Coming up, Falcon Report, guys. It is our quarterback's birthday today. But more than that, can this offense bounce back? An interesting article by CBS talking about the fact that all bets are in, Mike. Everyone's saying Matt Ryan will be better in year two.
Well, he's going to be the highest paid player in the league. It would be nice. Guys, we got a big next 2 hours. Earlier in the show, we had a really funny conversation with Brad Guzan. Michael Parker was riding shotgun. A bunch of United players were going down to Warner Robins for a soccer clinic. You'll hear that in the 6. Also, the latest on why Soroka ain't starting tonight for the Braves, Carl.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.